Cody Coates.
Joe, hi.
I'm going to have to call you out. You got to say my last name, Cody Coates.
Sorry.
This is our spiel here in the beginning. Let's start this again here. Cody Coates.
Joe Coyote. Did I do it right that time?
Fantastic. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it rained here last night in California.
Was this the first time you regretted not having a weather widget on your watch?
No, because I was already inside.
Oh, man.
It was at night, so it wasn't that dramatic. But it was nice to see water falling from the sky.
Yes, I know. The drought. It's very serious over there. But I was getting jealous because David Sparks was talking on the talk show with Gruber, and he was saying how he doesn't have to use a weather widget because it's just like 60, 70 degrees and sunny pretty much all year round. Must be nice.
You know, I actually have the weather widget on my watch. I look at it, but yeah, I listened to that and I was like, man, why do I have that on there? It's always pretty much the same temperature. Like, it's usually either like 55, 56, or 57, and that's about it.
And we told ourselves offline that we weren't going to talk about weather anymore in the intro. Well, guess what?
Oops.
We broke our promises. So we have, we don't have any follow-up per se from last week, but I did want to thank, new Patreon supporters. So if you're a new listener to this show, you can support us through Patreon. And what we do at the end of each month is record a special after show to thank you for supporting Diagnostics and Usage. So you can head over there to patreon.com/DAU show. But without further ado, I'm ready to get into topics. What about you, Cody?
Yeah, I feel like quite a few things have happened this week. The first one was the Jobs movie, the new Steve Jobs movie from, who is it? Who's doing it?
Oh, Aaron Sorkin wrote the script. He adapted the script from the Walter Isaacson novel, which...
Universal is what I was thinking.
Oh, yes. Originally Sony, but there, as revealed from the Sony hacks, too many complications behind the scenes, too many lead actors pulling out of the role, and... we're left with Michael Fassbender, which we could be left with worse.
Pretty handsome guy.
Fassbender is a great actor. I just don't think he's right for the role. I don't know. Even in the short...
Well, I mean, we have... crap, I cannot remember anybody's name. What's his name?
Seth Rogen.
We have Seth Rogen playing Wozniak. That's a weird casting as well. He has like a very funny tone, and it seems very drama oriented movie, which I don't really see Seth Rogen fitting in.
I can forgive Seth Rogen being casted, but you need to have someone who can play Jobs and make you believe that he is Jobs. And I know that I am in the minority here, but I really thought Ashton Kutcher did a phenomenal job portraying Jobs. I think that the script was absolute garbage for that movie, which was, I believe it was just called Jobs movie. That was terrible. But Kutcher, at some point in the middle of that movie, I forgot that I was watching Kutcher. He studied Jobs, speech patterns and movements, and I just thought he did a great job. And I don't know if Fassbender, again, this is just a teaser trailer, so you don't get to see a lot of Fassbender. You do hear him narrate as Steve Jobs, but you really only get to see Steve Jobs, him as Jobs, very little.
Well, following up on that, you don't really see anything happening at all. You just hear this weird, aspirational, like, kind of putting Jobs on a god pedestal.
Sorkin at his finest.
Dialogue over a mostly black screen. Not really much was happening at all. And then it goes and says, okay, here's all the people who are going to be in it, and scene. Like, it was a very disappointing trailer. It really gave you no context into what actually is going to happen in the movie, other than, I guess, Steve Jobs is going to end up on a stage with a bunch of flashing cameras. And Jeff Williams, who Who is Jeff Williams
Jeff
playing?
Daniels, first off. He's playing Jeff Scully. Let me give you a little insight about this movie. Because so two things. A, Sorkin spoke about the script early on and how he was going to structure it. And B, I don't know if you remember, 9 to 5 Mac got a hold of an early draft of this script. They didn't leak it online, but they reviewed the script. Like, they did a review of the script as they received it. Right now, the movie is going to be structured in three 30-minute blocks. So apparently it's going to be a 90-minute film, and each 30-minute block takes place, or at least starts off, where Steve Jobs is backstage before a product announcement. So I believe the three products they're using is the 1984 Mac, and then the iMac, and then the iPod in 2001. So it's going to
start... Not the iPhone?
No. Yeah, I know. I said the same thing.
That's weird.
I said the same thing. I mean, and who knows? Maybe the script has changed a little bit. But it's going to start there, and then I guess they're going to have some type of, I don't know, like flashbacks leading up to it. And apparently Steve Jobs, his daughter Lisa, has a big role in the movies, or at least in this portrayal of the film. But it's almost like Sorkin kind of disregarded Isaacson's book, because it's not structured in any way that Isaacson wrote it. They just, I guess, had the rights to the information that was in that book. But it doesn't seem like it covers Steve Jobs' like later life, which I'm kind of more interested in. Like, I would love to see a film that has a take on his latter part of the life, because like the Jobs film with Kutcher didn't, and this film doesn't seem like it's going to. So I mean, I don't have high hopes.
I don't either. I didn't see the Ashton Kutcher movie because I heard it was just crap.
Really?
I do like Aaron Sorkin, so I think I will give this one, unless it comes out and it's like even worse reviews than the Kutcher film, I probably will see it. But after this trailer, I'm not looking very interested.
Cody, do yourself a favor and watch the Kutcher one. It's on Netflix for free right now. I understand that the reviews were...
How much time am I investing in this?
Not much. It's a very short film, and I would love for us to discuss that movie in a future podcast, because I hope you agree with me that Kutcher nails the part of Jobs, but I mean, we'll see.
Okay. I have a long weekend this weekend, so maybe I can pull it off.
Now...
Just for you, Joe Coyote.
Cody, I was told via text message by you something, and I knew that I had to stop the conversation right then and there, because I wanted you to give me the full details and the full story on the air, so to speak. But let me just tease it here. You witnessed a solid gold Apple Watch in the wild on someone's wrists.
Yeah, it was very strange. I was sitting at the bus stop. It was early in the morning. Like, I'm like barely two sips into my coffee. And I see a guy, he's waiting on a bus, standing there. And he has the gold, I couldn't tell if this is 38 or the 42, but gold Apple Watch with the black sports band. And I did a double take. And I know that he noticed, and then there was this like awkward kind of, I didn't just look at your watch, but I know you saw me look at your watch, and let's just ignore this, and you get on your bus and go on your way. But it really stands out. Like, it was definitely noticeable that it was gold, and just the slight curvature of the Apple Watch shape, I knew right away that it was a Apple Watch edition.
And it wasn't the rose gold, it was just the 18 karat? Solid gold.
Yeah. Yes.
That's interesting. Because, I mean, I've seen the gold in the display cases, but, I mean, it's like people said when they first announced it, like, just to be like, wow, you're wearing something that costs at the minimum $10,000 on your wrist. It's a little surreal to see that.
Well, I'm pretty sure he was an Apple employee, so he probably only paid $5,000, but still.
Oh, yeah. still though, yeah, and that's another thing to point out is like I feel like Johnny Ive and Tim Cook and Phil Sher, I feel like they want to wear the gold one, but they know that they can't when they're out like doing PR at stores because
wait, but I thought Tim was wearing the gold one. He was just wearing a different band.
No, not that I'm aware of. When was this? Because he's visited a couple Apple stores where he actually had a custom steel one, meaning his dot on the digital
crown. That's what
crown.
I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
that's what
his
I'm thinking
of. His dot on the
of.
Digital crown was red. But yeah, that's pretty interesting. I, you know, believe it or not, living in New York City, I've yet to see a gold, let alone many.
How often are you seeing Apple Watches?
Honestly, I've only seen two since the release, and they were interacting with other people in the technology space for my job, so it was like, oh yeah, of course you have an Apple Watch, but I haven't seen one on the subway or walking down the street.
So I also have only seen two. I've seen this one, and then I recently flew home to for like a big family event, and on my way back, the guy I sat next to on the plane had an Apple Watch. Those are the only two that I've seen in the wild.
And this wasn't in our outline, but now that we're talking about the watch, rumor has is that June we'll finally be able to walk into an Apple store and purchase an Apple Watch. So I feel like...
Well, I mean, we can finally walk into an Apple store and get bands as of today. Or today or yesterday, and like finally be able to buy bands. I can't believe it took that long for the accessories to get into the store.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more watches in the wild now that it'll be a little more accessible to purchase, and people can kind of. I mean, one thing I'm curious about is if lines will start to appear. Like even though, because you know that it's going to be limited quantities in each of these stores, I'm wondering if, you know, it may not be launch day, but I'm wondering if the lines will start piling up around stores to, you know, to try to get one versus waiting the couple months, you know, because some people are still getting ship dates of past June, like July and August.
Yeah. You know, I the day after I got my watch, I ordered the black fluoro elastomer sports band. It just got delivered today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's like wild. It took forever for it to get here. I haven't tried it on. Next week.
Okay.
I'll give my review of the fluoroelastomer.
So I got a pretty embarrassing tech story, Cody.
And I'm super excited for this.
And I obviously, again, decided to wait till I'm talking to you and putting this in a recording before I told anybody. So I...
My favorite part about this, listeners, is that the only thing in our show notes is, quote, all my files... quote, and that's it.
That is it. Sorry. So, okay. So I am, you know, I use Alfred as a launcher, and I'm just very fast on the keys, and I'm clicking around, and I'm always, you know, just doing things at a very fast pace when I'm on.
I'm already getting very nervous for you.
When I'm at my computer at work. So, you know, and also I have this unfortunate habit or tick or obsessive compulsive disorder, however you would call it. I always have to have my trash empty. So anytime a file goes in it.
Oh, Joe.
Anytime a file goes in it, I hit up Alfred, I hit EM, and I hit enter, and it empties my trash. So that's the backstory. So I was at work, and I was given an SD card, and I was putting the SD card in my computer to erase it because, or at least delete the contents on it, because I needed to use the SD card for something else. So I placed the SD card in my Retina MacBook Pro, and I thought I was looking at the contents of the SD card. And I was going to do just a command. I do a command A to select all, command delete, and then command space EM enter. Like, that's how fast. It's rapid. It's even faster than I just said it to you. I wasn't in the SD card window. I was in the all my files window. And Cody, let me tell you the hell. No. Let me tell you the hell I went through.
I feel bad for you, but I can't help but laugh.
First off, let's just thank God this wasn't my computer that stores everything. Like, I have Selective Sync on a lot of stuff, you know, with my accounts connected to my work computer. So I don't really, but I still had over 3,000 files. So I hit Command A, I hit Command delete, and I see that it's tallying up like 3,600, like 4,000 files, and it's tallying that up when it's trying to right. put it in the trash, not even to empty the trash. Thank God I didn't empty it. So it's going in there, and I realize, oh my God, I just put all my files in the trash. Now, even though I hit the X like in the middle of it, it didn't obey that command. And all the files went in the trash. Now, here's where I have to yell at Apple. Yes, it was a dumb mistake on my part. But anytime, aside from the All My Files panel, if you're in any other folder and you put something in the trash, you could tap Command Z and it will actually take it out of the trash and put it back exactly where you deleted it.
Right.
But since All My Files is a special window pane and it shows you everything no matter what, this is ready for the nightmare. So this.
Oh my God.
Ready for the nightmare? Wait. Get this.
Now I feel bad.
I go and I open my trash. I hit Command Z. I open up my files, hit Command Z. It's not doing anything. There is no undo command. So.
Well, there's like the restore in trash. On a file in trash, you can like right click, and one of the options is restore, isn't it?
I don't know. If that's the case, then maybe I gave myself a bigger headache. But here's what I needed to do. And there used to be that option.
Maybe, I don't think it's there anymore.
Like, though. I don't want to trash everything now to figure that out. But here's what I needed to do. And this really, I mean, I wanted to just throw my computer out the window. I had to take everything out of the trash and move it into just one folder. So so all of my files I just moved into one folder, like the documents folder. Now get this. It didn't delete the folders. So I had all of my folder structure still there in all the places, but when you went into those folders, no files were in there. So I literally spent, I mean, it felt like more than an hour, but maybe it's just an hour. I spent time. I had everything in one folder. I sorted it by kind. I had to spend time finding all of these files, including all of the diagnostics and usage episodes with all the logic files and all the different sides of recordings. And I had to sort everything back into folders. It was like literally someone taking all of your file cabinets, taking all the files out, and throwing it on the ground and telling you to put it back into the folders and organization. It was a nightmare. And let me just tell you this. I've gotten rid of the All My Files favorites bar on the side of my finder, because I never, and I repeat, I never want to have to go through that again, because that was hell on earth. that's my story. And
you had a great week.
Yes, hopefully this is a cautionary tale.
Don't use all my files.
Yeah, or
and have a backup.
Or use things wisely. That's the other thing. It took everything out of everything that I had Selective Sync on with like Dropbox, Google Drive. It took all those files there, so it unsynced everything. It was, Cody. Oh my God. I don't want to think about it anymore. But I figure I had a
so.
Yes.
I'm looking in the in my own trash folder, and if you certain files, there is a put back option that puts them back to where you deleted them from, but it's not on all of them though. So like, and I can't figure out which ones have it and like which ones don't. But there is I knew there was a put back option, and it's there on some but not all files, which is really strange.
See, that wouldn't have helped me, because then if it's not on all, I wouldn't be able to select all and say put back. I would have had to find the ones that I could put back, and it would have still been a time-consuming mess.
Yeah.
Well, onto better, bigger and better things. And when I say bigger, I really mean bigger.
Wow. That was a segue.
That was a phenomenal segue. Come on. New details have surfaced today regarding the iPad Pro, this 12.9 or 12-inch device that Apple could debut as soon as WWDC, but I would say more towards October, November. But here are the details. So it's a Gurman scoop. So Gurman doesn't put stuff out unless he's right. It's going to have a dual app viewing mode, the one that has been rumored for a while. An interesting tidbit that he put in this article is that dual app viewing mode was originally going to be in iOS 8, and at the last minute they didn't think it was polished enough, and they pulled it. So being able to kind of do a split view, because that is really, I mean, I've had very limited exposure to the Microsoft Surface, but it's kind of cool. And you being able to not only put two things by side, but do like three quarters of the screen gets something, and just a quarter gets like a Twitter timeline. Would you find that? I mean, I know you're not a big iPad user, but
I think it would be cool. I had Windows 8 installed on my Mac, and I could never get the hang of it for using the like snapping feature, I think it's called. I could never figure out how it worked and like what did it. And I think it's good that they pulled it because it wasn't polished, because I think if it's not easily understandable, it's just people won't use it and it just will be a bust.
And then the other thing was, and this is something that you've said in the past that you didn't think they would do, but multi-user support, having multiple user accounts on this iPad Pro. I think it just makes sense for something of this size, because I feel like this is going to be more of a living room device versus for some people. I think it could also be, you know, a professional device for someone who's on the go, but I think it's time to bring different user accounts. Like, I would really love for me and my wife to get an iPad Pro and she can have her user account and I can have my user account. I think that would be a perfect use case.
Yeah, I think it's either a, like, they can get a lot out of it by not only, I mean, it opens up doors for education, being able to have one iPad that can be used by multiple people, business, family. I think it makes a lot of sense. I just didn't think they'd ever do it. But if Mark Gurman says so, then it shall be, right?
And he did mention something about a bigger iOS look or something like that. I hope that doesn't mean just bigger icons. I hope that they figure something out.
Yeah, I hope that they finally give some character to the iPad version of iOS. I mean, it's always been just a blown up iPod Touch, essentially, right? I mean, it will be nice to see them actually add some maybe just characters and features, and not like actual OS features, but I mean just the look, the how it looks, landscape features that would make the iOS version that's running on iPad a little more distinct from the iPhone.
Are you a Spotify customer?
Nope.
No. Because they, we mentioned last week, RDO launched this weird $3.99 plan, and it seems like it was their way of trying to get people, kind of lure people into their service before Apple releases this imminent Apple Music. But Spotify is also trying to kind of stay relevant and offer more things. And they're branching out from music. They're doing video clips now, and they're doing podcasts, which was really interesting.
Big surprise.
And then something that they're kind of copying from a number of different kind of services, music services, is activity-based playlists. So, you know, you tell them, you know, I'm going running, or I'm having a party, or I'm cooking dinner, and they have these kind of curated playlists. I mean, the first time I've seen that was, I don't know if you ever used this app, it was called Songza.
Yep.
Yeah, Songza used to have that, where Songza was like a Pandora and like an iTunes radio. But what's cool is you could say, you could literally say, like, I'm cooking dinner and I want to hear, you know, this type of music. And it would put together a pretty cool playlist. So you know, furthermore, I wrote something about this, you know, I posted it this morning, and about how these companies are kind of pivoting and they're trying different things, just so that they can try to retain their current users. Because with this Apple Music, you know, this thing's going to be baked right into the OS, and this thing's going to be front and center. And I feel that Apple is going to steal away a lot of these customers for the mere convenience of having it right within your music app and not having to jump around, and offering very similar features. And like we mentioned last week, like a ping-like social media aspect as well. What do you think?
I think that Spotify has a pretty big hold on a lot of users. I think when people think music and listening to music, they immediately think Spotify. I was thinking about it this morning because I bought a song and I was like, man, I feel like such an old person that I actually buy music. People nowadays, you know, before it was like you downloaded music illegally or whatever, and now it's, oh well, you just stream the music and you pay Spotify or not, and you just stream whatever music you want to listen to. And I think they have a pretty big foothold and customer base. And I just take the analogy of like Google Maps. Like Apple, everyone was so used to using Google Maps, and then it suddenly switched, and tons of people just, like, as soon as Google Maps came out on the App Store, they downloaded it immediately and haven't looked back. And I think that Apple's going to face the same problem with Spotify, in that a lot of people are just used to Spotify being their source of music. It's probably, you know, it's on people's docs, it's on people's homepage. That's what they associate with listening to music. And Apple's going to have to do a really big push and really give a large incentive to bring people over to Apple Music or whatever it's going to be called. I think they can do it, but they really just have to make the features and the availability of music amazing and just knock Spotify out of the water just based on music itself.
Exactly. And another thing I pointed out in my piece was, you know, the buying habits of this generation compared to when the iTunes Store released in 2001 are drastically different. Apple has, you know, iTunes has been dominant and Apple has been on top about digital music sales, but they've realized that at this point they're not going to be on top for much longer, because these people are getting pretty much millions and millions of songs at their fingertips for a relatively cheap amount of money per month. And with their purchase of Beats Music, I think they're finally looking to bring that technology and that curation into their own app.
So you're not getting an Apple TV, and neither am I, and neither is anyone else, because Apple dropped the plans for Apple TV.
Yeah, and this is funny because every time an article came out about Apple TV, some people meant like the set-top box, but some people meant like the rumored Apple television set. So it was in the, you know, when this first came out, I was like, what do you mean there's going to be no Apple TV? Like, I'm going to jump out. I'm going to jump off my third story fire escape if there's going to be no Apple TV.
Sprain your ankle or like at least your wrist, right?
And of course, you know, they're I forget, Wall Street Journal, I believe, who got the scoop they were investigating in an Apple television set and just realized that it wasn't the right move for them. And I agree. I thought it, like, if they were going to focus their attention on Apple Watch or Apple television set, I would have picked Apple Watch every time. And the main thing that everyone argued, which is very true, is people don't buy TVs very often. They buy TVs. Some people buy a TV and let it sit there. And with these new HD TVs, they could last for potentially 10 years. The quality is really good. And I think that they focused all their energy on content deals for this new Apple TV set-top box, which hopefully we'll hear about in a few weeks at WWDC. They made the right decision. But I think... I one thing, I think Steve Jobs would have followed through, even though it was the wrong move. Because you remember Steve Jobs said, you know, that famous line, "We finally cracked it." I think Steve Jobs really wanted an Apple television set. And I think that after his passing, I don't know how far after, Tim Cook kind of realized that it was not the right move for them.
I completely disagree. Really? I don't think that Steve Jobs would have loved to have built an Apple television set. I don't think he would have pushed it through when he could. And I think this is what they realized and why they dropped the set, is that they could have the same amount of control and solve the same amount of problems just by treating anybody's TV the same way you treat an external display. And as long as they can project their UI onto that, I think when Steve Jobs says, "I cracked it," he was not meaning I cracked what the shape of the TV should look like or something like that. It's simply a UI and UX problem. And that UI and UX solution that Steve Jobs famously cracked could easily be presented into anyone's living room using a set-top box like Apple TV is now, just with upgraded hardware and this new solution.
Yeah, that is an interesting theory. And
I mean, I think maybe it would have been, if Steve Jobs got it through, I think it would have been axed. I don't think it would have, it probably would have been a hi-fi type thing. It wouldn't have lasted long, or, you know,
absolutely.
Or the cube, right? It would be like the Mac cube. And I think at that point in time, like now, he would have, I say this, and he was kind of an arrogant man, so he probably wouldn't have, but I would hope that he would have at least realized that the TV would have been a failure. There are just too many downsides to producing a TV set. There, you're not going to have the turnover rate. You then, given just Apple's personality, you're going to have to support that at the Genius Bar. Do you remember how much we heard people complain about hauling in a 27-inch iMac? Can you imagine what it would be for hauling in a 50-inch television set? Like, I think there's that.
Yeah, the infrastructure alone. They would have had to do home visits or something like that.
And on a TV, like, all it is a panel and then whatever computer solution they have. That whole panel, which is most of the television, they don't make panels. They have people make the LCDs for them, and then they combine them in production. Apple wouldn't have, I don't think they would have gotten into that business, because I just...
Why take control over the panel when the real fight is for what the content is and what interface you're using? So
yes.
That is a very, very valid point, which makes me even wonder, like, why were they even looking into it at all? Or maybe this is...
Well, I think it's ideal, right? It is a beautiful solution to just have this Apple TV that does everything that you could ever want or dream of or imagine with this beautiful solution from God, Steve Jobs himself. But it just, I don't think, is feasible or reasonable for the average American television living room setup.
So another gem kind of dropped into the news this week, and very odd timing. It's very odd timing to the point where I would love to know why you think it happened this week, but a lightning dock for the iPad and iPhone 6 have finally arrived on the Apple Store and in retail stores, and which begs the question, you know, especially because if you look at it, it's very minimalistic. It's just plastic with a lightning cable. Why not premiere this when they came? I mean, why not premiere this with the iPhone 5? It just seems odd.
Well, if you remember the last dock, which was for the 5S, that also came out months after they released the iPhone. And now with the 6, it's come out months afterwards. I'm going to take a guess here, knowing nothing about anything, but I assume it's something along the lines of production has ramped down for iPhone 6. We want to keep those factories going. start producing docs.
Oh, that's actually an interesting theory.
That's the only thing that I can think of that makes sense for this coming out of like, hey, this is like a little accessory that we've always made. Let's just make this to keep things going. I mean,
and the form factor will most likely stay the same with the 6S, and the iPad Airs don't change drastically. So it's not like it's going to be only out for, you know, 6 months and then be cannibalized, you know.
And it's easy profit for them. I mean, well, another thing is now that they've opened this up, that's a new accessory that is in there for Q3, which doesn't have the holidays, or Q2 and Q3, which doesn't have the holidays. So it could bump up accessory sales because it's some new line when someone walks into it, just, you know, wanders into a store like, oh, a dock. Yeah, I could use that, you know, and before they didn't have it.
Do you buy much accessories for your Apple products, like aside from like a case?
I actually had the iPhone 5S dock and the iPhone 5 dock that I really liked, and I'm probably going to be getting a dock for the 6. I love just being able to like dock my phone at my desk and have it just sitting there. I love it. And especially now that the problem before was that I would have to like every time I would get up from my desk, I would take my phone off and put it back, and that kind of got annoying. But now I just leave my phone at my desk most of the time because I have my watch to let me know if anything comes in.
Yeah, I think I might buy one of these for my desk at work too. I mean, it's just more convenient. It's more convenient than fishing a cable out of my bag and then plugging it into this USB on my computer. And it'd be nice to just be able to sit down and just dock it when I need to.
I actually also recently just got one of the Henge docks for my Mac at work. So now I used to have a setup with two displays, and then I would keep my Mac on the side opened. And I just got this dock where your Mac is in the clamshell like closed position, and the Henge dock helps it stand like straight up.
I'm looking at this. This is wild. So this is meant to be for when your Mac is on. Wow.
Yeah. So it's got the charger. It essentially just has all of the ports that are on the side of the Mac, and you stand your Mac up, and they all kind of fall into place. And then you just have a couple displays plugged in to it. And so I just now like I get into work, I dock my Mac, and then I click my mouse, and both my displays are now hooked up. I don't have to like unplug and replug cables and do all of that stuff. It's just always sitting there ready to go. And if I have to like get up,
what ports does it cover?
All the ports that are on the side. So you have your power, two Thunderbolt ports, a USB, and then a 3.5 millimeter audio jack.
What do they come out the back? Like, how do you get access to?
Yeah, it's just like on like the display, the Apple Cinema display. You kind of have like the octopus wires that come out.
Oh, okay. I mean, it looks beautiful.
I bought a USB hub to plug into one of them, and I have like my mouse and my keyboard all plugged into that, and now I'll probably have my iPhone charger plugged into it. And then like the 3.5 millimeter jack just like comes out, and it sits right next to me. It's, you know, I have to, if I need to go to a meeting, I can just like pull it right up and go, and then come back and set it back down. I don't have to worry about plugging in wires and stuff. It's really nice.
Yeah. I'm looking at this, and I think it's pretty beautiful. So your desk setup, is a single display, or you have two,
Yeah, I have two external displays.
I was going to say, because right now I use my Mac as my one display, and I have an external display because I need to have at least two, when working. But this is an interesting, are you using Apple displays?
No.
I think
they're Dells. I don't know what they are. But a lot of people, that I work with, they do the dual monitors, but then they also still keep their laptop open, and I find it so unmanageable to have like two displays, one size, and then another display a different size, and it like throws me off because they're also not like Retina and Cinema displays, and going between Retina and then non-Retina, it's just weird. So I prefer to stick to the two non-Retina displays.
What's also weird getting used to is So I have my, you know, 15-inch Retina display MacBook Pro, but it's hooked up to, like you said, like a Dell display. One thing that was kind of freaking me out, and I didn't realize until I was, I don't know, until one day, was like, sometimes my screenshots would be like at a nice normal viewing rate, but then sometimes my screenshots would be humongous, and they would be, and I'm like, what is going on? And then I realized that if you take a screenshot when the window's on the Retina display, and you take a screenshot when it's on the Dell display, it actually, you know, honors the resolution. And I was like, I'm like, that's why. But man, would it be nice for Apple to finally get us that 5K display, but, you know, obviously not with an iMac inside of it. I don't know what they would call it. Like, I don't know if they would go back to calling it a cinema display, or I don't know. The naming conventions have been really odd. Cinema, then Thunderbolt, and I don't know if they would just call it a 5K Thunderbolt display. Man, would that be, that's on my wish list for sure.
It would be very, very, very pretty, but also probably very expensive.
Yeah, it'd probably be like $3,000.
Oh yeah.
Even though they did drop, that was a couple other things. They dropped the price of the iMac 5K, or they made a base model, or they made like a lower model, and then they upgraded the 15-inch with Force Touch, and they could not.
Intel. And Marco Arment hates it.
No, he hates the MacBook One. He hates the MacBook One.
He hates the Force Touch trackpad.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. And the other thing was Intel still could not get Apple proper quad-core Broadwell Intel chip. So Apple was like, well, we can't wait for you. So they did this update without it, which was a little sad that they, you know, they could, you know, I guess Intel just doesn't have their act together on that.
I think what it means is that we're not getting any, with this, we're not getting any Mac update surprises at WWDC. I think it's going to be solely software.
Well, the only Mac surprise that I could think of is a possible updated Mac Pro, because they introduced introduced the new Mac Pro at WWDC, but they would have to pair that with a 5K display. So this is my you know, fairy tale scenario at WWDC. They introduce a new Mac Pro with, you know, better graphics cards that are capable of, you know, of driving even more displays, and then they introduced this 5K, you know, Retina companion display to go along with it. Again, you know, one can dream. did you have anything else you want to discuss before we wrap this thing up?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, Cody, if people wanted to find you on Twitter, where would they go?
At CP Coates. What about you, Joe?
At Joe Caiati, CAIATI, and I write at joecaiati.info. We will talk to you all soon, and we hope you guys have a great week. Talk to you soon, Cody.
Bye.